Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all of the occupational therapy students joining us here today, calling the August 11th, 2023 meeting of the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners to order at 1:33 p.m. Next item of business is roll call.
Christopher Daly.
Present.
Charlene Marbs.
Present.
Dr. McAllister.
Present.
Barbara Paulson.
Present.
Jeannie Galvin.
I'm here, thank you.
Shana Ganatra.
Present.
And myself, Becky Garola.
Considering we have established a quorum with all of our board members present today, our next item of business is agenda item 3, declaration of conflicts of interest. Do any board members have anything to declare?
This is Charlene Marbs. I have none.
I have none as well.
Okay. Barbara Paulson, I have none.
And Chris Daly, I have none. Considering there are no conflicts to discuss, our next agenda item 4, discuss, amend, and approval of our last meeting minutes. Number 1, regular session meeting minutes of July 14th, 2023. Just to note, Dr. McAllister was absent for that meeting. The regular meeting session minutes have been previously distributed. Is there any discussions or corrections to the meeting minutes?
Mr. Daly, this is Barbara Paulson. I did not see any.
All right, hearing no discussion or corrections, I move to adopt the July 14th, 2023 minutes as distributed. All in favor? Oh, I'm so sorry. Give a second.
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
It is moved and seconded to adopt the July 14th, 2023 meeting minutes as distributed. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Clint McAllister?
Since I wasn't present, I will abstain.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes by majority and one abstention. Agenda item 5, review, discussion, possible action of future board meeting dates. We're looking at A, September 8th, B, October 13th, and C, November 17th. Do any board members have any conflicts at this time?
Mr. Chairman, I still have a conflict on September the 8th, and I believe today we were going to talk about an alternative date.
That's correct, Ms. Marbs. That is if Dr. McAllister has a conflict on September 8th.
I was going to say I'm good to go, so we should have a quorum, which is why I'm hanging around.
Okay, awesome.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, hearing no additional conflicts, our next item of business, agenda item 6, review, consideration, and possible action on reinstatement application for licensure. 6A, we have none. Item 7, review, consideration, and possible action, complaints, investigations, and compliance. 7A, initial review of complaint, we have none. 7B, review and discussion of possible action, we have none. Moving along to agenda item 8, review, consideration, possible action on initial application for licensure. 8A, we have none. Moving on to agenda item 9, review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure. I may have just... No, I'm so sorry. Okay, yes. Agenda item 9. 9A, initial applications. 9A1 is the matter of Angela Edelbrock. And in brief, we received an initial OT application disclosure from Ms. Edelbrock regarding an incident in 1998, which was consumption while driving or open bottle, as well as no proof of insurance. An additional no proof of insurance incident at an unknown time. And then 2006, a no proof of insurance and failure to appear. And there was no available documentation regarding these disclosures. Ms. Edelbrock did provide a detailed account of the events, primarily related to age and financial hardship. In 2006, she did serve 5 days house arrest due to unpaid traffic violations. Is Ms. Edelbrock with us today?
Yes, I am, Mr. Daly.
Hi, Ms. Edelbrock. Just wanted to give you an opportunity. Thank you so much for your detailed explanation of the events, but just wanted to give you an opportunity to address the board at this time, if you so choose.
Yes, I guess just a overall general comment about these instances are quite far in the past. I believe I was between 18 and 26 years old. I'm now 43. It is a little embarrassing to hear that read in front of this entire classroom, but it's one of those things that I think is important to disclose and why I did. In my hopefully future professional position, I believe that these events have not only given me time to consider my own circumstances, but also have made me a more compassionate and understanding individual as I head into my future career in occupational therapy, and how these events can affect a person. And when I speak of financial hardship, you know, really those no insurance tickets transpired after my minor while driving. So I was on risk insurance and was dropped from my parents' insurance, vehicle insurance. And so that just kind of snowballed into these events that happened later, and has just really given me a lot of perspective on how you know, different courses of action with law enforcement that are intended to serve a good can sometimes have the opposite effect. And I believe that's something that I can carry forward as I work with different populations in my career as well.
Thank you so much, Ms. Edelbrock, especially for your candor and your transparency regarding the matter. Do any board members have any questions?
I do not. If there is no further discussion, I'll make a motion to approve the license based on age of the events.
This is Barbara Paulson. I'll second the motion.
It is moved and seconded to approve the initial OT application for Ms. Edelbrock. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Quint McAllister.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much, Ms. Edelbrock. Wishing you all the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Take care. Okay, moving on to agenda item 9A2, matter of Tyler Sears. Received an initial OTA application disclosure from a 2016 Georgia, that his 2016 Georgia state OTA license expired and subsequently lapsed and was revoked for failure to renew. In 2017, the Georgia state reinstatement application, Mr. Sears answered no regarding an arrest record, although he was arrested in 2010 for driving too fast. The Georgia reinstatement license was denied until various conditions were met. Mr. Sears met all of the conditions and the Georgia State OTA license was reinstated January 2018. Mr. Sears did provide a detailed account of the events as well as all related documentation. Is Mr. Sears with us today?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, he was invited, but I do not believe he's on. And that was just in case you had any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Iarola. Any discussion from the board pertaining to this matter? I personally was satisfied with the documentation and explanations provided by Mr. Sears.
I move that the board approve the initial OTA license for Tyler Sears.
This is Charlene Marbs, I second.
It is moved and seconded that we approve the initial OT application for Tyler Sears. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Dr. McAllister.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 9B, renewal reinstatement applications. 9B1, the matter of Shane Johnson. This matter has been carried over from our past couple of board meetings, and Mr. Johnson is in attendance today for any updates related to his renewal application disclosure from June 2023. There is an update regarding his settlement conference, which is now scheduled for August 30th, 2023, so the end of this month. Is Mr. Johnson here with us today?
I am, yeah.
Hi, Mr. Johnson. Thanks so much for joining us again and providing
no problem.
And providing the additional documentation. Just wanted to ask, aside from the document you provided, are there any other updates, or is that it at this time?
That's it at this time. I'm quite sure after August 30th, I'll know more of what the outcome of the case is, and have updates at that point.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. Any questions from board members?
None from me, but I would like Mr. Johnson to know that I really appreciate the way he's been keeping the board advised on what's going on, and when he has the specific documents we're looking for, he has made them available. We're just not quite to the end yet.
Right.
I was definitely right. Going to say how we're kind of in the middle. I'm coming in potentially in the middle of this, but I would make a motion to table this until we know the end result of that August 30th.
This is Barbara Paulson. I would second that motion.
It is moved and seconded to table or continue this matter, Mr. Johnson, to the September 2023 AZOT board meeting. All in favor? All in favor.
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much again for your time today, Mr. Johnson, and we'll see you at our board meeting next month. Really appreciate your help in keeping on top of this.
Of course, and again, I just want to extend my thanks to you guys just for I know it's difficult and just a confusing situation and a complex situation, but I really appreciate your guys' fairness and just listening and just giving me the opportunity to go through with the case and see what the outcome is. You guys have been more than fair, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Moving on to agenda item 9B2, the matter of Derek Kent. It's a disclosure and follow-up from our July 2023 meeting where Mr. Kent provided a license renewal disclosure where the documents provided at that time were illegible. New documentation was provided for board review pertaining to a domestic violence misdemeanor charge in the state of California. New documentation that was received was dated March 2nd, 2023 from California Superior Court pertaining to three counts on burglary, corporal injury to spouse, and vandalism, to which Mr. Kent pled no contest. In reviewing the new documents provided, Mr. Kent was sentenced on misdemeanor charges to conditional community release for 36 months, ordered to pay a number of fines, and also sentenced to 16 hours of community service and attend and complete a 52-week batters program. Mr. Kent did provide an explanation of the situation last month. Is Mr. Kent here with us today?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kent. I just wanted to give you an opportunity in light of the new documentation and information we received. Would you like to address the board at this time and expand upon anything or provide additional clarity?
I don't really have too much to add from last month's meeting. I believe I told the whole story at that meeting, and that's recorded. So, I've followed through with the items that you guys have requested, more legible documents, which I don't blame you. And, I'm starting to I've been complying with paying the fines. I've submitted two different examples of receipts to Miss Vicky, and then I'm going to go through with the rest of the items that the courts assigned me and just go from there. Starting off, it's just been kind of one thing at a time. All these items cost money, so I'm just doing the best I can. And to my understanding, I have 3 years to accomplish those things, but I could have been told one thing, and in reality, it's another thing. I'm not sure, but that's to my understanding. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer any.
Thanks very much, Mr. Kent. Any questions from board members?
This is Barbara Paulson. The timeline was actually one of my questions, but you went ahead and let me know. Thank you, Mr. Kent.
You're welcome.
On the two on the community service and the batters program, now, does that have to be completed in the state of California then, right?
The batters program's online. I think it's out of California or okay. Some, in Sacramento, I believe. But I actually just got paid, so I actually plan to sign up for that today or tomorrow, and I'll initiate that. They take out payments every single week, so it's not like I can get out of it or anything. And then that'll last 52 weeks.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then there'll still be the community service piece, correct?
Yes, I plan to do that. I've kind of been waiting on that because of the summer. But my plan is to do 4 days of 4 hours apiece, hopefully at an animal shelter, but wherever place will have me.
Okay, thank you. And I really appreciated the documentation on your payment plan. So that was very helpful to the board.
You're welcome.
Thank you. It's kind of the more information we have, you know, we can
absolutely.
formulate a more valid decision. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Any additional questions?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we go into executive session for legal advice.
Chris Daly, I second the motion. It is moved and seconded. We go into executive session for legal advice. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Dr. McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, entering into executive, leaving general session at 1:54 p.m.
If I may remind, all board members will leave this meeting and the public will stay here. Please no side conversations, and Ms. Igarola will be here to monitor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, entering open session at 2:05 p.m. Continuing our discussion, the matter regarding Mr. Kent, I would personally be comfortable with approving the renewal license if Mr. Kent were in agreement to keep us updated on his status of completion of court orders.
Yes, absolutely. This is my career and I'm not trying to jeopardize it or lose it.
We appreciate that. Mr. Kent, will you be sure to provide official documentation to Ms. Ganatra and her staff of your community service, your course completion, and your payments, like you provided the official receipts before, which we appreciate?
Yes, ma'am. Would that be done via Vicky?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Awesome. Yeah, not a problem at all.
And just to clarify, Ms. Marbs, on the payments, that wouldn't have to be every payment, would it? Or what is the board thinking?
I was just thinking a quarterly receipt, and a quarterly receipt where he is at the quarter would show, you know, the balance reduction and any payment he made prior, you know, to that.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. That makes sense.
So he's clear. You want quarterly reports sent to staff showing his payment history, his success on the coursework that is required?
Yes. And proof of community service.
All right. Very good. Is that clear to Mr. Kent? Is that all right?
Yes, ma'am. I understood it crystal clear.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a motion?
I move that the renewal license for Mr. Derek Kent be approved, along with our request.
To have those quarterly updates?
Yes.
Okay. This is Barbara Paulson. I will second that motion.
It is moved and seconded to approve the OTA renewal license with the request that Mr. Kent keep board staff informed of the status of completion of all court orders and terms by way of a quarterly update to the board that demonstrates payment history, completion of batterers program coursework, as well as completion of community service. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marb.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Dr. McAllister. You're muted.
Aye, sorry.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much for your time with us today, Mr. Kent. Really appreciate your assistance in this matter. Wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you all. And then may I request what months those quarterly intervals will fall on? Vicki, are you able to send that out to me via email by chance?
I think any documentation will be sent from Ms. Ganatra.
Okay. Yes,
Mr. Kent, if you can forward all that information to me, and I would just recommend putting a reminder in your calendar. I'll put one in mine as well to ensure that we get it on that quarterly basis.
Okay. To my understanding, I'm just going to assume that's 3 months from now. So by November, send you an update, and then 3 months and so on.
Correct. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for being here.
All right. Moving on to agenda item 10, consent agenda review, consideration and possible action on applications for licensure approved by the executive director. 10A, there are 223 initial renewal and reinstatement applications. I move to ratify the 223 initial renewal and reinstatement applications that have been approved by the executive director.
This is Charlene Marbs, I second.
It is moved and seconded that we ratify the 223 initial renewal and reinstatement applications. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Dr. McAllister.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 11, review, consideration, and possible action, board business and reports with Ms. Ganatra.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. So 11A, we have a guest speaker joining us today, Mr. Sean Conway, and he is the Vice President of External and Regulatory Affairs at NBCOT. He'll be presenting on items relevant to our board. Mr. Conway, I'll pass it over to you.
Great. Thank you so much. And if everyone will just bear with me for just a moment, we'll see if we can get these slides pulled up.
Mr. Conway, I have it up as well, so if you're having any.
Yeah, that would be great, Shana, if you can pull them up. For some reason, I don't know why I don't see that again. Thank you.
Of course. Okay,
very good.
Great.
Very good. And I'm assuming everyone can see the slides, okay? Is that okay? Good.
Yes.
All right. Well, many, many thanks to all of you. Chair Daly, it's good to see you again, and many thanks to you and your board. I do want to give a special thanks to Shana and Vicki for all of their efforts to help coordinate this presentation. They're lovely to work with, and I really appreciate their efforts. My name is Sean Conway, and I work for the NBCOT, as Shana indicated, in the External and Regulatory Affairs Department. And as part of our responsibility at NBCOT, we have for many, many years reached out to occupational therapy licensure boards all over the country. And we do this on a routine basis, because we do view it as our responsibility to make sure that we are keeping you informed of the most current national certification programs and services in occupational therapy. As we all know, you recognize and use the NBCOT's national certification examination, and along with the examination, a number of different certification related services. So we're going to talk a bit about what that looks like currently, and then also go into information that is specific to the certificate population and to the regulatory community directly. So with that said, let's see, Shana, can we move to the next slide, please? With every presentation that NBCOT gives, we always begin with our mission statement. And that's where the synergy lies between you as the Occupational Therapy Licensure Board in Arizona and NBCOT. And it really, at the end of the day, boils down to public protection and serving the public interest. We have also, you will see in our mission statement, embedded the principles of diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. Those are principles that NBCOT for many years has really tried to uphold with all of the volunteers that we have working with us all over the country on the examination, on our certification renewal program, on practice analysis studies, et cetera. So for many years, as I mentioned, we've tried to incorporate that to the very, very best that we can into the fabric of our work. Next slide, please. One of the other things that we also want to make sure that any constituency that we talk with knows, and that is the fact that NBCOT is accredited by two national accrediting entities. Now, why is that significant? For many of you who are familiar with accreditation, when you think about, for example, accreditation of a hospital or accreditation of a rehabilitation facility, you are more than likely very familiar with what those accreditation processes look like, where folks who are on-site reviewers come to your facility. They review your policies, your procedures. They interview staff. They review your databases. In other words, what they're looking for is, are you upholding the accreditation standards? And at the end of the day, are you doing what you inform your stakeholders you're actually doing? So does it align? Does everything align from an accreditation perspective? And in our case, it's very similar. Both of these entities have their own sets of accreditation standards to which we are held accountable. And that is probably the central message of this slide, is that we want to make sure that as a licensing board, you are aware of, you appreciate, you understand that the National Certification Board for Occupational Therapy is being held accountable. And believe you me, if there is any one or more standards in which NBCOT has been identified as being deficient, these entities have no hesitancy whatsoever in calling us out. Now, they always give us an opportunity to rectify those deficiencies, but the fact is that our feet are held to the fire. We are being held accountable. Next slide, please. In terms of our board of directors, we have a 15-member board of directors. That board consists of occupational therapists registered, certified occupational therapy assistants, and we also have 3 to 4 public members on our board of directors. The one thing that I think is really important to note is that the NBCOT's bylaws stipulate that whenever there is a newly proposed amendment or change, which is being brought forward around the national certification program in any way, so if it pertains to the examination, if it pertains to the certification renewal program, the proposed amendment must be unanimously approved by all public members before that amendment can go forward to the full board for its final review and consideration. And if those public members do not unanimously approve that amendment, that draft language must be brought back for further review and consideration. So we want you to be aware of that, again, as a licensing board, because we want to emphasize, we want to make sure that you know, and you are aware of the fact that NBCOT's board holds our public members in very high regard, very high esteem. And that goes back to the heart of the mission of serving the public interest. Next slide, please. I mentioned the principles of diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice being woven into the mission statement. That mission statement is something that the board reviews. The board has to make any revision, any update to that mission statement. One of the things that the organization has done in the last year is to develop 6 case scenarios, all of which are animated, they are virtual, and they are available to the public at large. We encourage anyone, licensing boards, students, academics, certificates, to share these tools with people that you know, people that you believe are interested, people that you know that are interested in learning more, in growing, in developing as a human being, and ultimately to become a better human being at the end of the day. You can access these tools on our website, free of charge, 24 hours a day. And again, there are 6 different case scenarios. Next slide, please. So in terms of the poor presentation, it has been set up, as I was mentioning at the very beginning, into 3 major segments. One being focused on students, a second middle section being focused on OTR and COTA certificates. And then the third section really highlighting a lot of aggregate data for the regulatory community. So let's start by looking at the section related to students. Next slide, please. All right, and we can go ahead and move to the next slide. Those are just some of the folks that we've met along the way over the past 6 or 8 months this year. One of the things that we want every occupational therapy licensure board to be really well aware of, this is important, that again is our duty to share. It's our responsibility to keep you informed. And that is that we conduct what is called an entry-level practice analysis study. And in our case, we do it every 5 years. In the certification industry at large, the industry stipulates, and again, this goes back to those accreditation standards that we spoke about. In those standards, in order to be accredited, you must conduct an entry-level practice analysis study every 5 to 7 years. So that's what the standards stipulate. In our case, however, we do this every 5 years. Now, what am I talking about when I mention an entry-level practice analysis study? This is a very comprehensive national study in which we are looking at what entry-level practitioners are actually doing in practice. And when I use the term entry-level practitioner, I'm referring to newly certified occupational therapists and occupational therapy assistants who are 1 to 3 years into practice. So we conduct a national survey. We are gathering data from those new practitioners from all over the country, working in all kinds of different settings with all kinds of different client and patient populations. Why is that important? It's important because that data, once collected, once analyzed, gives a very distinct, a very clear, psychometrically sound picture of what new practitioners are actually doing, not what we think they're doing or what the textbooks say they should be doing as a new practitioner. But when they're faced with all of the challenges that we are faced with on a daily basis, what are they actually doing and how are they doing it? Next slide, please. And so when that data is collected, when you think about how this translates, what does this mean for the National Certification Examination? It ends up being reflected, meaning the data ends up supporting. It's the foundational support to what is called the examination content outline, otherwise known as an exam blueprint. Because we have two national certification examinations, one for the occupational therapist, the second for the occupational therapy assistant. And so it makes sense that there are two separate content outlines. Now, as a licensing board, we want to make sure that you know not only do these content outlines exist and how did they come about, but furthermore, that you can access both of these exam content outlines on the NBCOT website free of charge 24 hours a day. If you're looking at the screen before you now and you look at the percentages, what you're looking at is the percentage of items, or in other words, the percentage of questions on the national certification examinations that fall under a certain domain of practice. And when I use that term domain, what I'm referring to are very broad-based, high-level areas of competency in the practice of occupational therapy. And then under each one of those domains, if you think of it as sort of like an umbrella, there are what are called task and knowledge statements. And so that is where, from an exam construction perspective, and the questions are being written and developed, it is being broken down into how does this practitioner do this particular task in a safe, proficient, and competent way, and what is the knowledge that is necessary in order to carry out that task safely, proficiently, and competently. Next slide, please. And so one of the other messages that we want to make sure that every occupational therapy licensing board around the country knows is that we just completed the most recent entry-level practice analysis study toward the end of last year in 2022. And what that means for you, what that means for all exam candidates, is that beginning January 2024, the new examinations, in other words, the exams that are going to be written to these new content outlines, will be administered beginning January of next year. Any student, any exam candidate taking the exam through the remainder of this year will be taking it using the current examinations on the current blueprint. But the new blueprints and the new exams, based on that most recent entry-level practice analysis study, will start the beginning of next year. Next slide, please. So here is a slide, which again is posted on our website, that reflects the most current entry-level practice analysis study results. All right. We have had studies in the past where from 1 5-year to the next 5th year, the results in some cases have been fairly significant. In other words, we've seen 5-year periods of time where entry-level practice in many respects has changed quite significantly. In this case, from the last time the study was done to this one that was done in 2022, the differences were more subtle. And thus, when you compare these content outlines, if you were to look at them side by side, and again, you can access them both right now on our website. When you look at them side by side, you will see that these percentages, though they vary, they are a little bit different. There are not significant differences. And so that is something important for all of us to keep in mind. Next slide, please. In terms of the examination administration process, students who are applying for the exam use, rely upon what is called the exam scoring calendar. This calendar is on our website. It extends for the future 6 months ahead. And we do that so that we give students an opportunity to plan for scheduling their exams accordingly. Now, Shayna and Vicky, they are also familiar with the exam scoring calendar because the way in which they can use this as administrators is to check the calendar whenever they want or need, which tells them when the examination is going to be scored. So if you look at the sample on your screen, you see certain days that are titled as a scoring day. It's essentially every 2 weeks, sometimes a little more frequent. The blocks that are highlighted in green, however, are really for the students. So if that exam candidate wants to make sure that his or her score is made available so that they can access them by the next scoring day, what they have to remember is that they must take the examination a minimum of 3 days before that next scoring date, if that is the date in which they are interested in receiving their examination score. So it really helps both the exam candidate and the licensing board administrators. Next slide, please. One of the other things that is particularly important, I think, for licensing boards to be aware of and to know is that as part of the examination application process, NBCOT has for the past number of years developed and now requires an exam applicant to review and attest to having reviewed the cheating and violating copyright law video. There is a video that is posted to the NBCOT's website. It is a required part of the application process. And the reason that we developed this video a couple of years ago is because we started to see students from universities and colleges all over the country who were posting items either directly from the exam or from study tools that they had been using without any references. And they were sharing them with their colleagues on social media platforms. Now, none of those students, we later learned, absolutely not a single one of them, realized that what they were doing amounted to federal copyright infringement. And so we then realized that there was even a bigger issue, and it was an education issue. And that is why we developed this video. We disseminated it to every educational program for occupational therapy in the country. And we encouraged all OT and OT assistant programs to use the video as an educational resource, as a tool. We encouraged them to link to our website, to use it in any way that they could to inform the student community of what this issue was, and secondly, what were the ramifications. Next slide, please. So let's take a look at some aggregate data. You heard me talk about exam applicants requesting that their score, for example, needs to be sent to the Arizona Occupational Therapy Licensure Board. And they need to do that, as we all know, by law. The statute and/or the regulations speak to that requirement. And that is one of those entry-level requirements for obtaining a license to practice. And so this slide that you see before you now gives you an aggregate number from around the country. In 2022, there were over 22,000 score transfers that were requested by exam candidates and sent to licensing boards just like you. Next slide, please. In addition to score transfers, there are many states, not all, but many, that have a provision in statute or law that speaks to and allows for a limited or a temporary permit or a limited license to practice. And in those jurisdictions, those states require those exam applicants to submit what is called an eligibility confirmation notice. And the reason behind that is that the state, before issuing a limited or a temporary permit or license, they want official confirmation from NBCOT that that exam applicant has applied for the exam and that they have been deemed eligible to take the examination. So again, this all goes to the heart of public protection. And in this case, there were over 10,000 eligibility confirmation notices that were sent to licensing boards around the country last year. Next slide, please. So now let's shift. Let's pivot a little bit, if you will, and let's start to talk about what things look like when an individual moves from that exam candidate into becoming a new practitioner. What are some of the resources? What are some of the services that are available as somebody makes that transition? Next slide, please. So one of the other things in addition to that cheating video that licensing boards, I think it is important and beneficial for all of you to be aware of and to know. And again, always going back to the heart of public protection is that in addition to that video, every exam candidate is required to attest to having reviewed, agreed to abide by the principles that are outlined in the NBCOT's code of conduct. And furthermore, by attesting to that, they are attesting to the fact that if they violate one or more of the principles outlined in the code of conduct, that disciplinary action can take place with regard to their national certification status. And what you see on the slide before you now are some of those touch points around some of the different types of behaviors that are addressed in the code of conduct. Next slide, please. So when someone is certified, once they take and pass that national certification examination, they are certified for an initial period of 3 years. That is the NBCOT's national certification renewal cycle. And one of the things that the NBCOT's board of directors a number of years ago indicated to our CEO is that they at the time wanted to develop a resource that was steeped in the most current evidence that exists on practice. They wanted a virtual resource because they wanted a type of resource that would resonate with practitioners into the future. And so what ultimately was developed is an online competency assessment platform called the NBCOT Navigator. And that is the slide before you now. The idea is that this online competency assessment platform, which is a value-added benefit at no additional cost to an individual who is currently certified as an OTR or a COTA practitioner. And the idea is that they can log on through their MyNBCOT account. They can access any one of these many, many different types of online competency assessment tools. They can obtain professional development and do it in a way that helps to bridge the knowledge gap. So if you think about a practitioner who's transitioning from one practice setting into another, going from a school to a skilled nursing facility, working with a different patient or client population. Maybe they worked with children for the last 15 years, and now they're transitioning into a skilled nursing facility where they're going to be working with elderly population. Obviously, the needs are significantly different. The premise, the idea behind this platform is to give practitioners access to these online competency assessment tools steeped in evidence to help them build that knowledge, to help them cross that threshold, but do it in a way that is based on the most current literature, the most current evidence that exists. Next slide, please. So let's take a look at some sample tools. There are currently well over 150 different tools that live on this platform. And what you see before you now is just a very small sample of the different types of tools. Some of them, like case simulations, are animated. There are some that are more in a quiz type format. But the bottom line is that every single experience behind the scenes is linked to the most current literature source, and every experience has an assessment. So you don't leave without taking an assessment, which you either have to pass, or if you don't, you try again. Next slide, please. These are samples of new tools that were released earlier this year. There was a case simulation on veteran experiencing homelessness and a separate case simulation on ethics. And I might mention that several licensing boards are now using this ethics case simulation tool as one of the resources for individuals who come to them and are requesting reinstatement of a license application. Next slide, please. Here are some other new tools that are now available. There's one on the public health crisis. I can tell you that that tool was developed coming out of the pandemic. That is why that tool was developed, based on the significant challenges that occupational therapy practitioners faced when treating clients or patients through that pandemic experience. There's another new one on middle school autism, and finally, another one on pediatric mental health. Next slide, please. Here are some different types of resources that are brand new this year. They also now live on that Navigator platform. There are three new practice assessments for the OTR practitioner and three separate new practice assessments for the COTA practitioner. What's different about these tools is that they consist of anywhere from 55 to 75 questions each for an individual who is interested in drilling down deeper. They already know a significant amount, and they want to drill down deeper to strengthen their knowledge. These assessments are very, very useful and appropriate. Next slide, please. So at the end of the day, what are we looking at right now? We started this initiative in 2015. And at this point in time, earlier this year, this data was gathered. So there are now 234,000 plus competency assessment units that have been earned You heard me mention that when someone successfully completes one of these Navigator competency assessment tools, they can obtain continuing ed or professional development for that experience. And that is what that number refers to. In addition, there are well over 874,000 tools that have now been played by OTR and COTA practitioners from all over the country. Next slide, please. States just like yourselves, the licensing boards, that since we began implementing this in 2015, have since agreed to recognize, to adopt the Navigator as an optional type of professional development for their state's licensees to choose if they want. There's nothing about this whatsoever that's required. If the practitioner, if the licensee chooses and wants to accrue professional development using the Navigator platform, they can do so. And in now 46 states, plus the District of Columbia, now recognize the Navigator as an optional type of tool. And we thank your board over the years for having made this decision in terms of recognizing that this evidence-based resource was a tool, was an option that should be recognized. Next slide, please. So in our final section, let's pivot again and let's talk about you guys, all right? Let's talk about some data that we think and we hope you will be particularly interested in. We're going to start first with a couple of slides that highlight a national portal for state regulatory board administrators. So Shana and Vicky have access to this portal. They've been given a unique username and a password for security purposes. And that then gives them access. And they can access this 24 hours a day free of charge. Nothing on this portal has any fee. It's all free. These are all resources available to every occupational therapy state licensing board in the country. The idea is that it is a clearinghouse of information. It's sort of a one-stop shop, if you will. So when your licensing board administrator needs something certification related, this is where he or she goes. So those score transfers we talked about, the confirmation of eligibility notices, disciplinary action, information pertaining to internationally educated therapists, all of those resources can be accessed through this portal. Next slide, please. This slide, although it's a little difficult to see, and I apologize for that, but the premise behind this slide is to give you an idea, sort of a practical sense of what your board administrator can access. So when it comes to public protection, if, for example, Shana or Vicky are looking at a license application and they're like, wow, you know, there's something about this application that doesn't smell right. There are some red flags that I'm seeing here. They can actually tap in through the portal to the online verification service system to see what the national certification status of that individual is. And if discipline has been taken against that individual by NBCOT, it will be identified on that online verification service. The other resource that Vicky and Shana have access to is what is called an OT Action Exchange database. It is a national database of disciplinary action. We started this in 2016, and so actions from licensing boards just like you that we receive are put into that database along with actions that NBCOT takes. And the premise or the idea is that any board administrator from around the country can access that database free of charge 24 hours a day when needed to access information that helps support their role to serve the public interest. Has somebody been disciplined? If so, where? What was the action that was taken? Is there information there I can get as an administrator, which will help give me a lead to pursue more information? That's the premise. Next slide, please. So there are now 11 states in the country, meaning occupational therapy state licensure boards, that accept NBCOT current certification for license renewal purposes. And so what this means is that in these jurisdictions, they all recognize, just as we've done for many, many years, the traditional pathway for confirming that an individual has fulfilled the state's continuing ed requirements. You know, when a licensee is contacted for audit purposes, they're typically asked to submit copies of those documents to the licensure board for audit. What these 11 states have said is that, yep, we're going to continue that traditional path. However, we're also going to offer an alternative pathway. And that is that based on the fact that we know that NBCOT's certification renewal cycle is every 3 years, and that attached to that 3-year renewal cycle is a 36 unit professional development requirement. These states have said, if one of our licensees comes to us and says, here is my official verification letter from NBCOT that officially verifies that I am currently certified, that I have fulfilled my ongoing professional development requirement. These states have said they would also recognize that as an alternate route for confirmation. Next slide, please. One of the things that I know you all have heard, I'm sure, a lot about, and we are so proud that your chair, Chris Daly, is on the Occupational Therapy Compact Commission and serving in the role as chair of one of the important committees. This is an initiative that AOTA and NBCOT, which is the American Occupational Therapy Association, the National Voluntary Membership Association in the profession of OT, and NBCOT have been collaborating on, working jointly on, since 2019. There are now 28 states, including your state of Arizona, so thank you, that have approved this legislation, which, you know, at the end of the day, once we passed getting 10 states approved, that allowed us to start moving in the direction of standing this compact up. And that is what Chair Daly and so many of the other commissioners are working so hard to do. And so we have this slide in here to keep this on our radar screen, to keep this as part of our national narrative. And so that all of you know that we're working on this, more legislative initiatives are to come, and that we hope that, you know, by the fall or so of next year, that we will be able to start issuing a compact privileges. Next slide, please. This is just a map that verifies or sort of validates, if you will, those 28 states that have passed the legislation to date. Those are the states that are identified in dark blue. The states in that lighter blue were states, some of the remaining states, I should say, in which legislation had been introduced earlier this session. Next slide, please. So one of the other initiatives we want to make sure you're aware of is that NBCOT, over the last couple of years, has been working on a relationship with CE Broker. And the premise behind this relationship is to provide another value-added benefit to all currently certified occupational therapist registered and certified occupational therapy assistants. And that is the notion that the CE Broker online platform is now available starting January of this year to any currently certified OTR or COTA who chooses to use the platform. They don't have to use it. It's not a requirement, but it's a platform that's there for any certificate to load their professional development documents. So they're uploading their documents. NBCOT can then see those documents if the individual is selected to participate in an annual random audit. And if the licensing board, like for example, the state of Alabama, they currently work with CE Broker. And so practitioners in the state of Alabama upload their professional development documents to this platform. Not only are they accessible by NBCOT, but by the licensing board in Alabama, when and if the individual has been selected to participate in an audit. And it then allows the certificant to be able to upload their documents, to store them in a very efficient, seamless way. And there is no additional cost. It's another value-added benefit. Next slide, please. One of the things that we want to make sure everyone is aware of is an annual State Regulatory Leadership Forum. We have sponsored this for literally this, I think, is our 30th year. We are going to be doing this again virtually as we have done the last 4 years. It is scheduled for September 19th and 20th from 1 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We invite all state regulators, administrators, staff, attorneys, investigators, board chairs, board members. We invite all of you to join us. It is free of charge. It has always been free of charge. We always want everybody to join us because at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is to present information about emerging patterns and trends in occupational licensing, certification, and regulation so that we all stay informed, that we're all working on this together. Next slide, please. One of the other new initiatives that we've started in the last 2 years is the National NBCOT Ambassador Program. Every state now has an NBCOT ambassador. Your state's ambassador's name is Christopher Trujillo. Their role is to serve as a conduit of information. So we push information to the ambassador and we ask that ambassador to share information within their communities, their states, their regions. And at the same time, we ask the ambassador to attend meetings in their jurisdictions and to funnel information from their jurisdictions back up to NBCOT. At the end of the day, this is all about building trusting relationships. It's about building trust. And it's about helping to keep one another informed around the country so that we're all making more informed, more educated decisions. Next slide, please. In terms of disciplinary action, we'll go through this very quickly, but I want to give you at a very high level some data looking at patterns and trends from a national perspective. Next slide, please. This is a graph, an image, if you will, that is available on our website that speaks to the NBCOT's disciplinary action program. If you ever want to use this, please, 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 by all means, we welcome you. We invite you to use this as an educational tool. You're welcome to use it anytime. Next slide, please. In terms of our code of conduct, we talked a little bit about the principles of behavior in the code. And when you think about this from your perspective, it's very similar to the law and the regulations. So in NBCOT's case, the code of conduct is more like the statute, and the procedures for enforcement is more similar to the regulations. So the procedures really spell out in a very meticulous, very methodical way, how is NBCOT held accountable? How is NBCOT responsible for implementing their code of conduct? Both of these sets of documents, again, are available on our website, free of charge, 24 hours a day. Next slide, please. So cases by source. Of the cases that we receive at NBCOT, where are we getting them from? Who is submitting these cases? If you look at this slide and you look down to state boards, you see that those percentages are more significant. And that is because boards just like yourselves have been submitting their final actions, their final consent orders to NBCOT for a long time. And we are so grateful for that. We have always encouraged state boards to do that. We are grateful because it serves as a complaint for NBCOT's jurisdiction. Our jurisdiction is over an individual's national certification as either an OTR or a COTA, similar to your jurisdiction over an individual's license to practice in the state of Arizona as either an OT or an OT assistant. The other thing that your final action does is that we can then post that action on our website in terms of public information. And as I mentioned earlier, we enter any action that you submit to NBCOT into that information exchange national database. And that is a beneficial resource for every licensing board administrator in the country. And so we thank you and we encourage you to continue sending copies of your final orders to NBCOT. Next slide, please. Early determinations. We started this a long time ago, and here's the premise. Individuals who may have had an illegal matter in their background, and it's always super interesting to sit in on licensing board meetings. Just today, in your meeting, I heard some very interesting scenarios around licensing applications. That's what this is for. So an individual, for example, who might have had a felony conviction in their background 10, 15 years ago, they're interested in applying to an occupational therapy program, but they're not sure if having that illegal matter in their background is going to prohibit them from ultimately being deemed eligible to take the national certification examination. And so we've set up this process where the individual submits copies of their legal documents to NBCOT. We review them, we compare them very carefully to our code of conduct, and at the end of the day, what we are determining is whether there is any potential violation of the code of conduct, and ultimately, is there any kind of need, always based on evidence, to disqualify someone from being able to apply for and take the national certification examination. So this is something that's been in place for many years, and it's something that has been used significantly. Next slide, please. Exam applicants. There are a series of character questions on the examination application. Have you been convicted of a felony? Have you been charged? Have you had a discipline in another field? Those kinds of questions. And with any affirmative response, there could potentially be some sort of action taken, because it always goes back to public protection. And knowing that folks coming into the field, we need to look at these things so that we do everything we can to ensure that we're not allowing someone into the field who could be of harm to the public that they ultimately may be serving. Next slide, please. Individuals who are already certified, they're out there, they're in practice, and they have complaints that have been filed against them. What are the types of behaviors that we're seeing? We see felony convictions, we see misdemeanors, we see inappropriate use of intellectual property, exam security violations, substance abuse, all kinds of things. And I'm assuming that a lot of these types of behaviors are very similar to the kinds of things that you all see as well. Next slide, please. For the occupational therapy assistant population, what do those types of behaviors look like in terms of complaints that are filed against that population? One of the things that we're most currently seeing in these complaints are allegations involving documentation. And I can tell you, having worked on disciplinary action for a long time, that over the years, there has also been a strong correlation between complaints involving documentation allegations and fraudulent billing. Next slide, please. So we looked at the types of behaviors. We looked at where are these complaints coming from. Now let's give you a very high level, quick snapshot of the disciplinary actions, the sanctions that have been taken by NBCOT over the last 3 years. You see in 2020, 2021, and 2022, a number of actions taken against individuals who had requested that early determination that we talked about. Next slide. So in terms of exam candidates, we'll just look at this one here, the screen before us now, that the sanctions that have been taken against both occupational therapists and occupational therapy assistants. One of the things that you will clearly note is that the nature of the discipline, the nature of the sanctions gets more serious. There are more significant actions that are taken involving complaints filed against OTs and OT assistants. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about actions involving suspension, involving voluntarily surrendering their national certification status, or ultimately revoking an individual's national certification. And in NBCOT's case, revocation is defined, as are all of those sanctions, in those enforcement procedures that we talked about. But in our case, revocation is a permanent removal of national certification. An individual can never get it back. And so you can imagine that revocation, when issued by NBCOT, is used very sparingly, but it is also used when the evidence based on the behavior is overwhelmingly significant. Next slide, please. Yeah, and we can go ahead and skip to the next slide. This just shows the occupational therapy assistant sanctions. So in closing, first of all, I want to thank you again. You have been kind. You have been so patient and very generous with allowing NBCOT onto your agenda to share this update with you. Our efforts in working with the state licensing boards are always to support and to make stronger this synergy, the interest that exists, the partnership, if you will, that exists between you as an occupational therapy state licensure board and NBCOT. And this partnership, the fabric of this partnership, goes to the heart of public protection. And that is what all of us are working so hard to do. And so with that said, we can move to the final slide, which is NBCOT's web address. Always feel free to reach out to us. We are happy to help, to provide resources in any way that we can, and certainly to answer any questions that you may have. So with that said, I thank all of you again, Chair Daly, your board, Shayna, and Vicki. Many, many thanks to all of you.
Thank you, Mr. Conway. Excellent presentation.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Mr. Conway, this just brings me back to when we originally got the NBCOT Navigator approved for our credit. And like all those things that I remember happening originally kind of got me all excited all over again. I use the assessment tool to mentor new therapists because they have access to it. It's there. I mean, there's just so many great things that you've just kind of reminded me of. And also originally we had directed Ms. Whiteford when she was the exec director to make sure she was following those complaints to you guys as well. So just probably a good time to remind staff that make sure that did carry over from leadership change too. So thank you, Mr. Conway. Greatly appreciate it. And I've always enjoyed having you come and speak to us. And then I remember when we used to do these in person, the leadership forums, and that was always great too. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. There's no other questions. I'll move on. And thank you again, Mr. Conway, for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thanks again.
All right. So I will move on to 11B, which is board member vacancy update. So yes. We did get an update from Director Deister of Boards and Commissions, and she is planning to appoint the new board members very soon. She's just waiting for the green light. I suspect they may be on for next board meeting. So we'll have an update by then, if not. But I suspect by next week is when she's planning to possibly appoint the new professional members. And I'm going to miss Dr. McAllister very much. So we'll have to touch base after Dr. Q after this. That is the update on that.
I'll be available for a consultation and I want a plaque.
Oh my gosh.
I think 10 years of service.
10 years, yeah. I was looking at your store date.
Now, Ms. Panatra, I did want to clarify that you said there's two members. Did you?
Yes, I did. I did. Two professional members to be joining us.
This is great.
Yes. So we'll have a full board. Yeah. So we're very excited. And they won't give us information yet on who until, of course, they appoint them. So nothing to share on that just yet, but hopefully by next month. All right. So I'll move on then to 11C, which is the 5-year rule review. And I submitted the 5-year rule review on July 28th. To the governor's office with the caveat that we're actually planning to send a revised report and I got the green light from the governor's office after the subcommittee meetings have concluded. So I plan to keep this on as an agenda item for next month so I can provide the report to the board members once that is revised and we can review it or, you know, if there's any questions or whatnot, that would be there for next month. Right. Moving on then to 11D, and I will pass it on to you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks very much, Ms. Ganatra. Very, very quick updates. Thank you again to Mr. Conway, who gave us a nice update in his presentation regarding the OT licensure compact. For any students still hanging in there with us, really, really quick, the OT licensure compact will turn your professional license almost into a driver's license, where you have one home state who manages your professional license, and then that allows you to practice in other member states where you are registered. The only difference is with the driver's license, you can drive free in every other state in the country. With this, you would be paying a fee to be registered in each of the other states where you'll be practicing. So that's a very, very quick explanation of it. There is a new executive director, Amanda Perry, who has been assigned to the OT compact to really help drive those efforts. And best place and resource for information is otcompact.org. They're making a big effort to really keep that website updated with up-to-date news, frequently asked questions. There's a toolkit so you can find all of the information and resources pertaining to the OT compact on that website. And I will have more of an update next month. We have a communications meeting coming up in a couple of weeks. And then also there is a full OT Compact Commission meeting scheduled for October, where all of the state commissioners are going to meet and receive additional information and things of that nature. So I will have more updates following that as well. But for the time being, those are the OT Licensure Compact updates. Thank you, Ms. Ganatra.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. Sounds good. All right, I'll move on then to 11E, Executive Director's Report. Under 11E1, Financial Review, we received the most recent financial report after the end of fiscal year expenses were made. And after all items were purchased, we still ended up with a remaining allotment balance. There's still some items that are unaccounted for since we're still processing from last fiscal year, but we remain in the black and we did have some funds left over. All right, if there's no questions, I'll move on then to 11E2, which is Rules Committee Update. We're planning to meet again as a subcommittee this month in August. And I'll plan to schedule that for Friday, August 18th at 2 p.m. I just want to make sure that there are no subcommittee member conflicts for that date and time.
That works for me.
That should be fine with me as well.
Excellent, excellent. And hopefully that will be one of the last remaining meetings, if not, you know, one of the two. I will move on then to 11E3, which is review of recent board staff activities. And Vicki and I continue to work a hybrid model of in-office days and teleworking days and continuing to process licensees. Vicki had quite a few this past month, or this month, I should say. It was a lot more than typical and because of graduations and whatnot and passing examinations. We are also planning to start the Centia migration project for occupational therapy in September is our slated date. So that will take up a good chunk of our time as well. It'll be 1 hour days, 3 days a week of providing and, you know, assisting with the migration to Centia. And I'll move on then to 11E4, A, statistics. We currently have 4,703 current licensees. If there's no questions, then I'll pass it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. Moving on to agenda item 12, agenda items for next meeting. We do have the matter of Mr. Johnson.
And if I may, the 5-year rule review as well, to please add that on there. Thank you.
This doesn't necessarily pertain to next month's agenda, but how would that work if we do get those two members appointed? Are one of those going to replace me for the rules? I mean, that's what has to happen, correct? That's kind of interesting.
Yes, I was actually going to bring that up to you. We would love to continue to have you. If that ends up happening, we would need to have, during that transition before the board next subcommittee meets, then we would just have to have another appointed subcommittee member. But we would love to ask if you join us as a public member because of your wealth of knowledge and you know, have you continue with us until the end, if you'd like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Dr. McAllister.
And I would like to add, if I may, one item, review of AOTA professional policy E.18, interventions to support occupations, which I will provide Ms. Ganatra and Ms. Igarola for distribution prior to our meeting for review. And this is part one of a two-part item, but that would be the agenda item for next month, is review of this document and discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Daly.
Awesome. I know where you're going and I love it.
Thanks, everyone. All right, and today we do still have, it looks like, a few public members. This brings us to our next agenda item 13, call to the public. Anybody with us today have any questions, comments, etc.?
Give those ones that hung in there some extra credit or something.
All right. Hearing no call from the public. Hearing no further discussion. I move that we adjourn our meeting today.
Barbara Paulson, I'll second it.
It is moved and seconded that we adjourn our meeting at 3:23 p.m. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.